From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called Crossing the Jordan, a picture of baptism into Christ's death, as he continues a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Such is the language of the believer panting after present fellowship with Jesus. He is sick for his Lord. Gracious souls are never perfectly at ease, except they are in a state of nearness to Christ. For when they are away from Him, they lose their peace. The nearer to Him, the nearer to the perfect calm of heaven. The nearer to Him, the fuller the heart is, not only of peace, but of life and vigor and joy. For these all depend on constant fellowship with Jesus. What the sun is to the day, what the moon is to the night, what the dew is to the flower, such is Jesus Christ to us. What bread is to the hungry, clothing to the naked, the shadow of a great rock to the traveler in a weary land, such is Jesus Christ to us. And therefore, if we are not consciously one with Him, little marvel if our spirit cries in the words of the song, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. This earnest longing after Jesus has a blessing attending it. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and therefore supremely blessed are they who thirst after the righteous one. Blessed is that hunger, since it comes from God. If I may not have the full-blown blessedness of being filled, I would seek the same blessedness in its sweet bud pining, in emptiness and eagerness, till I am filled with Christ. If I may not feed on Jesus, it shall be next door to heaven to hunger and thirst after Him. There is a hallowedness about that hunger, since it sparkles among the Beatitudes of our Lord. But the blessing involves a promise. Such hungry ones shall be filled with what they are desiring. If Christ thus causes us to long after Himself, He will certainly satisfy those longings. And when He does come to us, as come He will, oh, how sweet it will be.
Cannot be a friend.
These troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Of this message is to show what the Bible means by being baptized into Christ's death. The deliverance of the children of Israel depended solely upon the ark being carried into the waters of the Jordan, a symbol of deliverance from the wrath of God through the atoning death of Christ. Our salvation depends in its entirety upon Christ's finished work on the cross. Furthermore, in the new birth, we become one with Christ, so that we receive the value of his work as if it were our own. Through this union with Christ, the believer is treated by God just as God treats his own Son. Our union with Christ brings us into a new kingdom, the kingdom of righteousness. Finally, we see that as Israel left the concerns of the wilderness behind as they entered Canaan, so believers in Christ now walk in newness of life with him. Now Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of this message, Crossing Jordan, a picture of baptism into Christ's death.
When the children of Israel crossed Jordan in union with the ark, what did they do? They left the old territory behind them, and they entered into a new territory. When we are baptized into Christ, we leave behind us the old realm of sin and we enter into a new realm in Jesus Christ. This is made very clear in the writings of the apostles. If you go back to the end of Romans chapter 5, moreover, verse 20, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, watch this carefully. Sin reigned. We all know about that, don't we? What happened when God brought us into Christ? Grace reigned. He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Colossians 1, verse 13. What does it mean to die unto sin? It means to be brought from out of the kingdom of sin. We are no longer the subjects of sin. It doesn't say that sin suddenly passes out of existence, as Romans 7 goes on to prove. But it does say that we have a new king. We're in a new realm. For example, the children of Israel, when they came out of the wilderness and they went into Canaan, they carried much of the conflict and the failure of the wilderness with them, but they weren't in the wilderness anymore. They were in Canaan. So it is with the people of God We're not yet glorified. We carry much of the wilderness conflict and failure still with us. But we're not in the wilderness. We're in Canaan. Sin is no longer now our master. It is a usurper. We have a king who reigns in grace, who has justified us. We are no longer under the dominion of our sin. We have a full deliverance in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. He has made unto us wisdom, and both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There are the four great areas where we have deliverance. In the mind. In the mind. Can I say to you this morning that Satan has no right to the minds of the people of God? Sin has no right to the minds of the people of God. Christ is their wisdom. You can think right, because Christ is your wisdom. He's still given us a deliverance from guilt. He's our righteousness. He's given us a deliverance from pollution. For He's our holiness and our sanctification. And He's given us a deliverance from the power of sin, for He is our redemption. We're no longer slaves, we're set free. This is our standing in Christ. Now, as Israel didn't at once take full possession of all their covenanted possessions, so our experience is yet catching up with our standing. But thank God it is in the process of doing so. Paul says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To be baptized into His death. This is what it is. Then finally, it is to fellowship with Him in newness of life. Israel didn't only cross the Jordan, they entered into Canaan. We're not only baptized into His death, but thereby we enter into life. Go back to Romans chapter 6 again. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead, or how shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now just let me put a word in here. Forget about water. There's no water baptism in Romans 6. I don't care if you're a Baptist or a pedo-Baptist. There's no water baptism in Romans 6. It's not talking about water. Some people have water on the brain. They can't see water, but they imagine baptism by water. And they can't see baptism, but they imagine water. The Apostle Paul actually talks very little about water baptism in his epistles. He's talking about a baptism here that is into the death of Jesus Christ. The result of which is, now watch it carefully, everyone who enters into this baptism rises to walk in newness of life. I want you to understand that. Because as we have been crucified with Christ, so we must go on to say, nevertheless, I live. Christ didn't stay in the grave. Christ rose from the grave. When we are baptized into His death, we rise to walk in newness of life. What does that mean? It means that the concerns of the wilderness are replaced with the concerns of the promised land. Go back to Joshua 3. When they crossed the Jordan and went into Canaan, what were their concerns? The same as they were back in the wilderness? No, sir. Very different. The concerns now were battling, building, blessing. There was no real building in the wilderness. Thank God they had the concerns of the promised land. Here's the fundamental meaning then of being baptized into Christ's death. Let me sum it up. To depend solely on the merits of that death. To receive the full benefits of Christ's work as if we had performed it ourselves. To be treated by God as He is treated. To die to sin. And to walk in newness of life. Like the Israelites, we have entered a new land. We have not yet come to its full possession. But it's ours nonetheless. For Christ has gained it through the obedience of His death. What He did, thank God, He did for us. All He did, and again I would to God we could understand this, all He did, we did in Him. For He and we are one. All He did, we did in Him. For He and we are one. Did He satisfy God? Then did we in Him satisfy God. Did He defeat Satan? Then did we in Him defeat Satan. Did He merit an entrance into heaven? Then did we in Him merit an entrance into heaven. Did He gain an everlasting glory? Then did we in Him gain that everlasting glory. All that Jesus merited belongs to us. In the light of that, I leave you with a question. Ponder it carefully. What kind of people ought we to be? We have read Romans 6 and 2. How shall we who died to sin continue to live in it? How can we who boast that Christ is our righteousness willfully, wantonly, carelessly give ourselves to wickedness? Paul the Apostle goes on in Romans 11, 6 and verse 11, and he says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed. You've died in Christ? Then reckon on it. Take your stand on it. Here is the key to Christian living. Here is the single most important key to Christian victory. If you look at the structure of Romans 6, the apostle is emphasizing knowledge. Know ye not. Know ye not. Get a knowledge of this in your mind. Understand your union with Christ. Understand that you've been baptized into His death. And once you understand it, verse 11, reckon on it. Take your stand upon it. You see, what's wrong with most Christians is ignorance of the theological truth. And then they're floundering for a footing. But once you've got your feet on solid theological rock, once you've got your feet standing on your union with Christ and your baptism into His death, He says, reckon on that. Reckon that you have died. Reckon to be a dead man. You don't have to make yourself unfeeling. No, no. What you've got to do is see your union with Christ and by faith in Him, face your sin, face your temptation, face your foe. Get your feet on this solid rock. Reckon on it. I often give the example, if you got a bill for $10 and you're absolutely flat broke, there's not much you can do with it, is there? If you got a bill for $10,000, you'd still be as broke. You can do no more to pay the $10 bill than the $10,000 bill. But for its banker like Brother Tom here came along and put one of his millions in your account, or opened up his account and said, this is their account. Would you have any difficulty? No, no. There's your $10 check. But I don't have anything. But I have a joint account. We have a joint account with Christ. Reckon on it. Reckon on it. Take your stamp on it. And as you reckon on it, reckon you're dead indeed to sin. Reckon on being alive unto God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't yield your members, your bodily parts, as instruments of sin. Why? Because you've been taken out of its thraldom, out of its realm. You're now in the reign of grace. Oh, may God teach us today the glory, the beauty, the majesty of this great truth. Baptized into Christ's death, thereby living in newness of life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.